thinking about the church and how important it is to God, I wanted to read scriptures about it. And rather than preach, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to ask some of you, especially the members of the church here, what our church fellowship is meant to you since you've been here. Whether you've been here a long time or you just got here, and everyone's going to take maybe 1 minute or 2 minutes. Praise God, or else we'll you know, our tummies are going to be roaring because we want to eat. Okay, but that's what I'd like to do. I feel that Jesus loves the church so much. And as I was thinking about the word, he said, son, don't preach it today. Just read the scriptures. Let me speak through the word of God. So that's what we're going to do. So the title of this message is very simply, the church is the household of God. Say it with me. The church is the household of God. That's in the Bible. These statements and these words are in the Bible. And what is the church? Well, we're going to begin to see that. But let's read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 to 27. Could you put that up there? And let's read this together. Ready? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. That's the word of God, really, for the church. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Some of you said, oh, that leaves me out. No, God's going to work in you. Okay? There are no failures in Jesus Christ. Everybody's growing at their own pace, and God's going to clean all of us up and get us to the place where we want to be. Now, the devil would try to go ahead and deceive you and try to make you think that you're a failure and you're no good. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you have accepted him as Savior. And you grabbed onto that life's preserver, and I can guarantee it's going to hold you up. No matter how thin you are in the faith, no matter how strong you are in the faith, the life preserver, Jesus Christ, is going to hold you up and take you on. Not only that, you're going to see as God opens your eyes how much God loves you and how much God cares for you. Say amen if you're with me so far. So let's read some more scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10 to 22. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God knew all about us, and God has created us to do good works. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that's done in the body by the hands of men. Let me before we move on. The Gentiles, in the Bible, it only recognizes two peoples. Okay? And it's not black and white. It's not white and any other color. It's either Gentile or Jew. That's the way that the Bible breaks it up. Anybody who's not Jewish is called a Gentile. Okay? And all the nations of the earth that aren't Jewish would be Gentiles. But God has provided salvation for all. Okay? No one's better than anybody else. It was just the gospel went to the Jew first, then it went to the Gentiles. It's the only distinction that we find when it comes to salvation. Okay, we're dealing with the land in Israel. That's a whole different covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. But we're talking about salvation and spiritual salvation. We all can participate in this. It's wonderful. It brings us into this idea. Next scripture. Okay, remember that you were at that time excluded, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And that's what we Gentiles were, okay? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law and his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, making peace. Now stop for a minute, I gotta explain this. What's he talking about here? All of the hostility between Jews and the rest of the world, or you might say all the hostility between every single race of people, every single people of a different tongue, every single person of a different human culture, God has destroyed, and he's just abolished this thing that separated us all, which is a bunch of rules and regulations that really nobody really follows to the fullest. And he made one new man in Christ Jesus. Now, before I go on, you're saying, well, boy, we're not in that place right now in the world, because it seems like everybody's hating everybody almost in the world. It seems like the world's not coming together. It seems like the world is splitting apart more and more and more. But in Christ Jesus, we're coming together. In Christ Jesus, we're coming together. We're seeing anyone in Christ Jesus ends up loving. There is no such hatred that we find in many other religions today. And some of the leading religions that are really just pushing, if you don't believe in us, we're going to kill you. Christianity has no dictate in there to go ahead and harm anybody. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Okay? That's pretty, you know, that's pretty explicit there. We're taught to love. Do we share the gospel? Sure. Do we share this message of salvation? Sure. Why? Because we want to have fellowship with everyone. And Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, the Bible says. There's no way to God except through the mediator, Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man. And God so loved the world, what? He sent his Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. If you believe that, you start the process of being born again and saved. And saved from what? Saved from the idea that when you die without Christ, it's a Christless eternity. There's only a place called heaven and hell. There's not like five boroughs. How many boroughs are in New York City? Five. Yeah, I got it right. There's not five boroughs in heaven, okay? There's only heaven and hell. All right, that's about it. In Nassau and Suffolk County. Well, then Queens is part of New York City. Okay, but anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. So we move on here. So we have peace between and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death the hostility. That's why there's so much hostility in the world. The world is really shallow. We either separate ourselves from people because they think differently from us or they look different from us. It's so shallow, it's ridiculous. Why? It's because God created all of us and we all have the potential to be in God's household, the church of Jesus Christ. He came for all peoples. And I thank God that we're represented here so well by many, many different cultures and many different races. It's wonderful because that's what the church of Jesus Christ is going to be like in heaven. So if you're a racist, boy, you're going to have real problems in heaven, okay? Because you're going to find that you're not going to have your section up there, okay? You're just not going to have it. Praise God. It ain't going to be that way. Not only that, you know, it's just what we look on the outside. It's the content of our character that God's after. And our character can't change except by Jesus Christ. Say amen if you're with me on that. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's everybody. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You're in God's family. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too were being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's pretty powerful. We are the household of faith with a temple of the living God, and God's Spirit lives in you if you are a Christian. Now, some of us are at different levels of growth. If I was to put, you know, five potted plants out here, one of them was really flourishing, okay, looking like these beautiful Christmas trees, okay, without the lights, and they're artificial, but pretend they're real. Okay, and then if I was to show you another plant and you saw that the leaves are starting to, you know, wither, and what would the first thing you'd say? They look a little dry. Wow, they need some water. Then you might see another one. It almost looks like it's really on its last legs. I mean, it's like looks like it's winter, but it's the summertime. And you say, this thing, I think, is pretty dead. But all of a sudden, from the bottom of the root, you might see one of the, well, we used to call them sucker shoots. They used to come up. And from the ground, you go, wow, it's still alive. The root is still alive, you say. So which one are you in your walk with God, in your place in the church? I mean, you're flourishing, or you're kind of like, yeah, I'm doing all right. I need a little water, I think, and some plant food. Or, man, I'm really, really like, whew, I don't even know what's going on in my life. Well, all three are in the body of Christ, and we grow at different rates. And we need each other. Because when one's down, the other one can get back up again and go ahead and help that brother or sister. And remember, this is what Jesus said. The good shepherd leaves the 99. He goes after the one that's lost. How many people here know somebody who's lost? And don't raise your hand if the person's sitting next to you. Okay? They might get offended. Okay? So let's look at this next scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And we're going to read this all the way through. And I hope that God just washes our minds with the truth of his word. You can't get no more of the word of God than the word of God. Say amen. So I'm not going to water it down with my thoughts. I'm just going to read it as it is and let God open our hearts and minds. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is, even Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that beautiful? May the Lord bless the reading of the word. That's the word of God. That's God's plan, in a nutshell, to bring all people together in Christ. Only in Jesus Christ can we be one. I mean, I appreciate what the United Nations has been trying to do for the last, since World War II ended, and it hasn't been very effective. Why? Because people have selfish motives, and people down here on this earth want what they want, and it's usually not so much the people, even though people have selfish desires, it's the leaders of nations who want what they want, and they get a piece of the action. This is the way it works in an unsaved earth. However, in Christ Jesus, things are different. They're very, very different. The church is not supposed to be a place that follows the ways of the world. And some of you might have been in some churches sometime where it felt like you felt like a slave. You had to do everything. You had to do this. You had to do that. And if you didn't do it, you felt like you were absolutely out of the order of God, and you just felt terrible. But that's not it. God does not have an assembly line to build you into the body of Christ. He loves each and every one of you very, very much. Now, you have such a serious face on you right now that I'm going to show a little video that I found, okay, from an I Love Lucy movie. And it kind of shows you something that, and we'll discuss it. So could you run that clip right now, pull the lights down a little bit?
All right, girls, listen carefully. This is the wrapping department.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the candy will pass by on this conveyor belt and continue into the next room where the girls will pack it. Now, your job is to take each piece of candy and wrap it in one of these papers and then put it back on the belt. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Let her roll! wait here. Somebody's asleep at the switch.
What are you doing up here? I thought you were downstairs boxing chocolates.
Oh, they kicked me out of there fast.
Why?
I kept pinching them to see what kind they were. This is the fourth department I've been in.
Oh, I didn't do so well either.
No. All right, girls. Now, this is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped, you're fired.
Yes, ma'am.
Let her roll!
Oh, this is easier.
Yeah, we can handle this, okay?
Your experience has been, if you ever got involved in churches, but we don't operate that way here, and most churches do not. But we're families. We're not an assembly line, and nobody's forced to do anything. But you know, in a household, just like a natural family, there are responsibilities that we all have to do. And you know, it's not the parents shouldn't have to do everything. If the kids are teenagers, they should help cutting the grass. If it's a guy and or you know, even a girl, or be able to go ahead and help with the dishes here and there. And you know, we work as a family. And it's the same in the church. And what a fine demonstration of being able to see what family's all about, especially when it's time to clean up here. So praise God, we're asking everybody to kind of hang out and just say, and somehow it's like an organized, chaotic situation. There's no absolute plan, but you see the body of Christ in motion. Those who have the ability to lead kind of like just see something and they go, okay, I'll take care of that. I take care of that. And some of the leaders will give instructions, but it just works out together. And the church will be cleaned up for the next service at 3:00 when Pastor Derek's church comes in. Praise the Lord. So we get it all done. But the church is the body of Christ. And when I first got saved, I love Jesus. I mean, I got saved from a life of hell. I really did. I caused it myself, and I admit that. But then Jesus said, you can't just love me, you know, and because I used to think everybody was nuts, including myself. So I said, you know, Lord, you know, I can accept the fact that you love me, but I don't know how I can love anybody else. You know, I'm nuts too, so I don't even know how I could ever function, you know, socially with people because I think everybody's, you know, loony. And God said, if you can't have me without my body. And he had me read the book of Ephesians, the scriptures we just read. And I read it and I said, ouch. Wow. Okay, Lord, then what do you want me to do? He said, serve my body. Find out what gifts I've given to you and use them to help others. Help me build the church. And I said, fine. And that's it. The church grows with a growth from God. Remember the scripture? By the effectual working of each individual part. It means we all have a part to play. The idea that we come to church and at the end of a service, I didn't get anything out of it, well, then you certainly don't understand what communion is all about. Because communion in the Bible, the Greek word is koinonia. And it means to have a share and to give his share so that everyone is taken care of and nobody falls through the cracks. Jesus said, you're not to be like the world where, you know, the leaders overlorded over individuals. I may be the pastor of the church, but I am your brother to everyone here. The only thing is, I am a gift to the body of Christ to do my job. But it doesn't mean I'm more special or more holy than you. Now, I'm supposed to be an example, and I've got to work really hard at making sure that since I'm a teacher and an example, I want to make sure that I'm a good example and follow the word of God. But I'm no more special than any of you. You are important in the body of Christ. All of you have gifts, and we can't grow together unless you allow the grace of God to flow through you to bless everyone in the church. And that's why it's so wonderful. Before we get moving into this next section, which is to have a nice luncheon together, I want some people to share that are members of the church what the church has meant to you, whether it's been only, you've only been here for a month or two, or a week or two, or you've been here for years. And each one will give you about a minute or two, and then we get the hook out. Praise the Lord. But some people, that if the church has helped you on your growth in Christ, and you'd like to share something, I'll just come around with the mic. We're a family here, so don't be shy. I know you're not shy. You can talk on the phone and certainly through the internet. Okay, so anybody here? Praise God. Tom. Tom is always a good one to ask. Tom is an elder in the church. He's been here for so long with his wife and family, and we're so happy to have them here. But Tom?
Sure. Pastor asked me to share this morning, just briefly, like everybody else is going to share. It's funny, it must be God, because I went right to Ephesians, right to the fivefold ministry, which when I first got saved, you know, it was so much emphasis put on, you know, the fivefold, you know, which is, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and which one are you going to fit into, and which one are you going to do? And they stopped reading in that part of the scripture. Later in the scripture, it says, for the edification and the building up of the saints, those ministries were given for everybody here. They're not for one specific person or one specific idea of somebody. And Pastor just so eloquently spoke about that. What I want to share about real quick is what God does in this local family, taking it from, you know, what the Bible says and how it's applying in this family. I've been in the family a long time, and it's amazing to see how tight-knit everybody is here. And, you know, how when something goes, you know, maybe somebody's struggling or somebody's having a difficult time, that there's not like, you know, they're out on the outside of the church. They're in the whole fellowship. And that's a blessing to me, because that's not, don't take that for granted. That's not an easy thing to have in a church. A sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, or this family's having a hardship with money or this, and there's a need. You know, and that's what the fivefold ministry is, to guide everyone and put them in place to say, okay, here's the need. This is what needs to be happening. Like Pastor said, a leader or anybody. It doesn't matter if you're saved for a week or you're saved for 30 years. It doesn't matter, because God gives you the grace on your life as you so proportioned, as it says in the Word, that we all have a measure of grace in our life. Amen? And if we just avail ourselves and say, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? It's not a difficult thing. It could be something like, you know, hey, I'm gonna put all the chairs away today, or I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna, you know, see if there's any more ice that needs to be needed. It shouldn't just be the same people that do that. I mean, I need work in that area. Sometimes I just go to where I feel comfortable, and you know, that's not always what God wants us. He wants to be a little uncomfortable once in a while. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable once in a while. That's how we avail ourselves of God's grace, because it's God's unmerited favor. He pours it out on us. So I don't want to get all theological or anything. I just wanted to say how important it is that we just keep on keeping on. Amen? We keep on keeping on. We're doing a great job. This church is doing a great job. We're welcoming people that are new. We're here with the people that have been here for a while. We're lifting up and we're edifying all the ministries that are in this church and all the people that are in this church. So I just love you all, and I thank you very much for the few minutes. God bless.
Amen. And one more thing to add to what Tom was saying. You remember Lucy and Ethel? They were so afraid that someone was going to see their mistakes, so they were eating them, throwing them, you know, in their hat and trying to hide it up. In a church, we're not supposed to be hiding our sins. We're to be confessing our sins, and there has to be the ability to be transparent. Because if you're in a church which says that you have to conform to every single moral thing and never make a mistake, guess what churches are going to become? They're not going to be transparent. They're going to become nothing but religious, and they're going to be Pharisees. And what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, you're hypocrites. You know, you go ahead and you put all these rules and regulations on people, but you don't even keep them yourself. So a church should be a place where we help each other, because everybody struggles with something. There's a struggle, whether it be depression or fear or a moral sin. But what we try to do is say, listen, no one's going to get thrown out of the church because you have a sin, okay? It doesn't work that way. In the body of Christ, it's if you continue to want to practice it and not want to confess it, then the church comes to the last place where it says, listen, until you stop this practice, you cannot fellowship anymore. But it's not like, you know, we're going to go ahead and consign you to hell. We're not the judge. But in a church, we're supposed to care about each other. We want everyone to be able to feel comfortable and be able to come to the leadership and say, look, I'm struggling in this area. Could you pray for me? And that's what we do. And we don't go tell everybody, hey, did you hear so-and-so? They got no. What we want to do is help. We have a lot of people that are coming from the world. They've not been saved. Some came out of prison. Some came out of drug addiction. Some came out of bad marriages. Some are divorced. And nobody should feel like a second-rate Christian here. We don't have levels of holiness where it comes to, well, you can do this because you're holy and you're not. And it doesn't work that way. We're holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Not because of our own righteousness. So that's an important aspect of our family. It's no different in your family. How many of you have young boys? Okay, young boys. And I was a young boy once. It's hard to tell now, but I was. But, you know, and I use this illustration because it's really true. Did you find that when your boy hit like 4 years old or 5 years old that you only had to tell him once and he did everything you asked him? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Can you imagine a parent, okay, in public saying, Johnny, if you do this one more time, I'm going to punish you for the rest of your life. I mean, every parent would laugh on it. It just doesn't work that way. Because you have to continuously correct. Never forget that no matter how old you are in Jesus, you are still God's child. And he is going to get you to a place where you're going to realize that Father always knows best. Someone else now want to share.
Good morning, church. Sorry I'm late earlier. What our church means to me and my family is love. When I started here January, the Lord led me here, 2014. In January, we came through the snow, was greeted by Jessica, and just love. That's what this church has meant to me. And when I came here, I had zero jobs, prayer warriors. We talk about they really pray for each and every one of us. And as I look around, you know, I just see all the different cultures within this one building, within this, you know, the body of Christ. And since January 2014 till now, they prayed for me. I am now working I'm with the Department of Education, working as a special education teacher. I moved into our own, you know, we bought a house. And I mean, just through the church and everyone praying for us. So what this church really means is that big L-O-V-E, that big L-O-V-E. And we just want to remember that at all times. And I also pray for my husband to be in church after a year, and now he's here with us. It's just love. All right? So just remember that.
Thank you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand.
Hi. Let's see. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my walk with God, which started at age 15. In the past 9 years, I haven't been going regularly anywhere. My faith has remained strong. But I was one of those people that felt burned by the last place I was at. And don't get me wrong, they were fantastic in teaching me who I am in Messiah, but we're all human. And the two things that I felt the minute I walked in here in August was I felt almost like a rumbling underneath here, that the Holy Spirit was here, and he is just chomping at the bit, about to explode in this church. And that's the feeling I got. I believe it was the Spirit. But for myself personally, what this church has meant to me was first meeting with, and I'm going to cry, Pastor and Jess, to know that the best leaders are the most humble servants, and don't judge anybody, because that's being Messiah. That's being like him. And that's what's kept me here. So thanks.
Jesus said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. God has forgiven me of a tremendous amount, and I never forget where I came from. Praise the Lord. Okay, over here. Hi.
I got saved at New Covenant about 20 years ago. Life took me away from my fellowship. But in the meantime, I went through trials, tribulations, life stuff, and I married, had two beautiful children. And I pretty much took a beating all the way, and that kind of kept me away from my fellowship. I lost my soul. And just about over a year ago, I felt pulled to come back to New Covenant. And it was a one-day thing. I woke up one morning, and the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder and said, get up, get back over there. And I did. I was exhausted. I just don't know why. It was that morning, and then from then on, I've been coming back. It was funny because I was going through some, you know, I needed fellowship. I needed fellowship. And then I had a couple of ups and downs right when I came back. And without Pastor Rob and Jess, I mean, they supported me. I would call Pastor when I was having, you know, trials that were going on in my life with people and things that were going on. I felt that I was being attacked spiritually, which I was. And without fellowship and without having a strong pastor and a lovely wife that we're blessed with, we are family. And I feel that I so belong here, and I've been blessed in so many ways. Both my children were baptized since I'm here. And I counted on the Lord through my faith and my fellowship to bring me a new job, which I just started last week. But with the fellowship that I have here and with the love I feel here and the peace I feel here, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit a few months back in a tremendous way. I mean, physically, head to toe, he was poured upon me. And it was awesome. So fellowship in this church has been so important to me, and I am so blessed, and I'm blessed to have every single one of you as part of my family. Bless Pastor Rob, Jess, and our whole family. Okay. Have a blessed day.
Praise God, everyone. I'm just real happy to be here, just really blessed to be here. I've been here for a few months with my wife, and recently, I think it was last couple of weeks ago, there was a new couple here. I don't know if they're here now, and we were talking. And she said to me, you know what I like about this church? I said, what do you like about the church? She said, it's the fellowship. Every Sunday, you guys have fellowship afterwards. And that's deep meaning to me. Sister over here, both of you guys spoke about what I was going to say. The love, the fellowship that we have here. And fellowship to me isn't food. I mean, it's cool to have it all. But fellowship is seriously, to me, is lifting me up. You know, Joe, I noticed you cut your arm. You know, it's a drag. Or, you know, I heard you going through this with your parents. You know, I've been through that. And it's encouraging, lifting each other up. I get that a lot here. You know, Jesus said that by the love that we have for one another, they will know that you're my disciples. They will know you are Christians by your love. I was in the mall once. I don't know where the people are who met me there. But I was talking to some dude about Jesus. And, you know, it's a lot of people walking around. It's a little embarrassing sometimes. And so a couple, I have no idea who they are. They walked up to me, and they backed me up. They were right on the money about God and how God loves you and how Jesus loves you. that's showing me love, them love, and that scripture came to mind. By the love that you have for one another, they'll know that you're my disciples. I think everyone in the mall that day, including the security guards who were there, knew that we were Christians by the love that we had for one another. And that's what this place means for me. I feel like I'm backed up by my brothers and my sisters.
Well, I have to say that since I started coming here, that what this means to me is really, and I'm going to quote something like from the Bible or what the pastor says, it means the truth, the light, and the way for me. Because ever since I started coming here, I started believing more. I truly have faith. I've been down. I've been picked up, and I'm going in the right direction, and things are working out for me. Jobs are coming back to me. Things are happening, and it's all because I started believing. And every time I come here and listen to Pastor Rob, he really helps me out. He's been there for me. Jessica's been there for me. I was going through some family stuff. They helped me through it. Janet, Joe, Patricia, all these people that I've met here, beautiful people.
Okay. Praise the Lord. A very important part of this church is this pastor and his family. A couple of years ago, I was really backslidden in bad shape. And I would tell Pastor, you know, some of the things I was doing. And he said, God will get you through it. He didn't say, get out of here. You can't come here anymore. And I'd go home. I'd come to church. I'm being honest with everybody. I'd come to church, but then I'd go out drinking with the boys and the girls. Drinking. I know I was doing wrong. I'd go home drunk, laying in bed. A song would start singing. The Holy Spirit would start singing. I was a drunken bum. I'm home. God, the Holy Spirit would sing in me. It would start in my stomach, go to my head. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad. And he kept singing it, and I told him, leave me alone. Because I'm laying in bed drunk. I'm saying, leave me alone. I don't want to. I'm so glad Jesus set me. He just started singing it louder and louder. Thank God for Pastor that he hears from the Lord. And a very important thing is fellowship. That there is some. I've been to churches not so long ago. There was 2,000 people. Service ended. Everybody bolted out the door. You didn't even get a chance to say hello to anybody. They were all gone. 2,000. It's like being at the Yankee game. Game's over. Everyone's out. So it's a very important thing in church, the fellowship. And bless all of you. And thank God, my two boys. Listen. You talk about dysfunctional families. We were about as bad as you can get, but the Lord has put us together. Praise the Lord.
Hi, good morning. Or I think afternoon. I'm not quite sure. Okay, good. Okay, so I came here, I think a month after Judine came, because we were neighbors and she sort of strong. Sorry. So I came here in February 2014. Because of Judine, because, you know, we were neighbors and she pretty much strong-armed me into everything else like she always does. But I still love you for that. So I came with here. When I came, I was on crutches again before that. And it was pretty much my second or third go around with the same injury with my ankle. And I was on workman's comp and pretty much the same thing over and over again. With everything that led up to this, I was pretty much fighting with workman's comp, afraid of me keeping my job, because I do work as a technician, as Time Warner Cable, single parent, continuous fighting with my son's father, continuous fighting with everyone. So with me coming here, it pretty much instilled, you know, make me have a stronger faith. I realize that I pray more. I'm thankful. I'm a lot more thankful with the little that I do have. Not that I wasn't thankful before, but I think I'm more appreciative of everything that I do have and what I do receive. And everyone here just pretty much backed me up and just said, I'm an ear for you to tell me your story. I can pray for you. You know, the support was wonderful. Like, I am overly joyed about the support that I received from each and every single one of you. And this summer I had surgery And as you guys realize, I came in here with my scooter and I had a cast. I was pretty much broken down with everything, you know, and everyone just said, you know, we're getting there. Everyone just keep on saying, look, you're looking better, even though right now I'm in sneakers and a dress, but not my cup of tea, but I'm still, you know, I'm still trudging along, and I'm thanking Pastor Jess, Janine, Mike, you guys have always been here, Joe, Patricia, Lorraine, Nick, thank you guys. I know that I haven't really gone over to that side, but hi guys, how you doing? So thank you very much. You know, you renewed my faith. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Well, I've had quite a journey here at New Covenant in the past 13 years or so, 13, 14 years. It's been quite a journey. I've had many, many struggles. When I first walked into this church, I felt like, wow, this is home. Never really been to a church. I've been seeking out the Lord, and I didn't really know who the Lord was. But I walked in and I'm not going anywhere. This is it for me. This is home. I struck gold. So I felt the Lord had placed me here. I have to be grateful because this church and pastor, a lot of the people here, has actually filled a great void in my life throughout the years. I've had many, many struggles. And I've had a lot of revelations here through the Word of God that Pastor, you know, when he was up there, suddenly, I can't tell you numerous times that something just hit me, a new awakening, a new revelation to me, and I get it. Like, I suddenly get it. This year, I think the last revelation I had when Pastor was speaking is I finally understood what the Holy Spirit was. I really didn't know. I knew there was the Holy Trinity, but I didn't understand the Holy Spirit, and this year, I got it. Just like something he said, and it just, that, you know, was revealed in me. So now I ask the Holy Spirit quite often to give me direction on a day-to-day basis. You know, I've reached out to Jess, I've reached out to Kevin, I've reached out to many people, Sylvia, you know, Gil, prays for me, and it's home where you can connect and reach out to people who give you the encouragement to stay focused, to stay faithful, and to be grateful in the Lord, and to just look at all the blessings we've had, and you know, this is really the family of God, and I thank you, and I thank everyone, and I thank the Lord for being here.
My name's Kim, and I've been here with my husband for a few months, 4 or 5 months, and if I were to say all that the church has meant to me in that short time, I'd be talking too much, so I'm just going to have to pick the most important thing. Before my husband and I came here, we were attending another church, and, you know, for a time, and, but... You know, we were usually the only people worshiping, and it just, I wasn't feeling it. So one day I just turned around to my husband and I said, what are we doing? I said, look, we both know there's no Holy Spirit here. You know, what are we doing? We're wasting our lives. Why are we doing this? And, you know, coincidentally, well, maybe not, the Lord had spoken the same thing to him that morning, and my saying that was just confirmation. So, you know, we wanted and needed to find a church. And so I'm new to Long Island. I'm not from this area. I've been here for maybe 5 or 6 years. My husband was raised here in Nassau. And he said, well, why don't we go to New Covenant? And I'd heard the name New Covenant Church. I didn't know anything about it, but I said, yes, you know, let's give it a try. So as we were coming down the stairs the first time, you guys were singing some old school Christian song and felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it was, I just walked in and I said, you know, this is a place where I could belong. And since then, every time I've come, the Holy Spirit has met me here. And that is rare and special. And wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for all that this family of Christ in this church has done for my family. And I have recovered from so many illnesses. I'm a walking testimony. I came out of a coma. I have had Hodgkin's disease, lymphoma. My daughter would have not even known me. She was a baby. I came to this church when I was 18 years old, even younger than her. It was not even finished basketball hoop type of unfinished church. But Pastor Rob always preached to me, my friends, and he gave me a lot of strength. A lot of friends that had come here had also given me strength. And I just want to thank the Lord for bringing my daughter here, because she has a lot of problems with that. I had left my husband, and he loves the Lord, and I know he loves me too, and he loves my daughter. And I know that God is watching over all of us this Christmas. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Many of you, I see you. I don't know a lot of your names, but I've been coming to this church, I guess, a little over a year with my wife. Of course, I wear my emotions like a sleeve, you know. And, you know, I'm very transparent about the way I feel about things and very opinionated. And the game changer for me with the church, Pastor's testimony really resembles mine a lot, you know, because the 17th of this month, I will have 8 years clean and sober, you know. So my journey with Christ really started almost eight years ago. I just didn't realize it at the time. And, you know, the elder fellowship that I'm involved with has prepared me to be a good Christian, you know. But what this church is, what it means to me, the game changer was Didasco. You know, when we went up there, and I was so apprehensive, man. All these religious crazy people, you know, and it was the love that was shown to me. And there was this one particular gentleman. I think his name was Hanan. And I'm sitting there and I'm smoking. I'm the only smoker there, you know. And I'm feeling not like really Christian-like with these people, because nobody smokes, you know. And Hanan comes over and he goes, you know. He's like, why aren't you hanging out over here and talk? I said, well, I'm smoking. He's like, so what? You're smoking. Big deal. You're outside. You know, he's like, God meets you where you're at. You know, and that was really profound to me, you know, and that was the beginning of the shedding of that defiance and that opinion, you know, fixed ideas and the prejudice that I had, you know. And we sat and had breakfast with Pastor Rob. I'd go to this prayer group every morning, Pastor Rob and Jess, and just little by little, you know, the truth of the Holy Spirit entered me, you know, and I chose to get baptized under my, you know, I wanted to become part of this, you know, and it was really instrumental because, you know, Pastor Rob, Jess, and everybody here loved me until I could learn to love myself, you know, basically in that sense of a matter, you know, and I'm very grateful to be here. You know, I travel from Jersey because I just cannot think of going anywhere else to worship. I just can't, you know. It was very hard for me to find this place, and now that I'm comfortable, I'm having a hard time thinking that I got to find some other place. So I'm just going to keep coming, and just want to thank you all for loving me, and I love you all. I really do. And God bless you all.
Good morning. My name is Karen, and I'm visiting the church this morning. But I just want to give thanks and share a little bit. I want to give thanks to the pastors of this church and the church family. I visited this church about maybe a year ago. I learned about New Covenant Church when Luis Palau was coming to New York. So they were having the services here. But I just want to say, I'd ask my children to stand, that come to this church. They're here as a fruit of answered prayer. I had been praying that they would find a church home, And I visited this church, and I didn't know this was going to be their church home. I just want to give thanks to the pastors of this church and the church family, because they're here and they've been growing and receiving the word. My grandchildren are here also, and I just give thanks to God. They're here in the word, they're growing, and this place and the pastors and the church body has been that anchor for them for the difficult times that were coming that we couldn't foresee. And I just give God thanks for that. So thank you. They're here because of prayer. I had been praying and asking God, please provide a home that my children can come and hear the word. I myself go to a church in Hempstead. My pastor is from El Salvador. And there was kind of like a language problem for them to understand the word. But they're here in the word, they're growing, and I give thanks for that, and God bless you.
Let's just bow our hearts and pray. Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you for our church fellowship, recognizing that there are so many great churches everywhere, Lord God. But we asking, Lord God, that we as a church family would continue to grow together in your love, that we could be transparent and know that there's grace, there's forgiveness, and that we will never leave anybody and never forsake anyone, Lord God, so long as they want help, Lord God. We know that your love can conquer all, and we know that if we love truly, Lord God, we can help our brothers and sisters through any kind of a situation with the grace and the power of God working within us. So now, Lord God, we ask you to bless our Christmas Thanksgiving luncheon together as a family. In Jesus' precious name, may all the food be blessed. Amen and amen.